Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to your home for football and fantasy football, where we learn, scout, win, and repeat. It is time to continue the process. What's up, y'all? What's going on? It's your boy Ralph, back to talk some more NFL fantasy football action as we head into week three here. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic week two of action with your fantasy football teams, your real life teams you root for. How did it go? How did you do? Did you do it or did you not do it? I hope it was the former of the two. Excited to talk some football with you, new folks. Welcome to the podcast. Football season is where, obviously, if it's a football podcast, you grow new listeners. And so it seems like there's always new people trickling on. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Ralph. This is where we get into trouble sometimes, but we mostly talk fantasy football. So we love first-time offenders, but repeat offenders hold a special place in my heart, too. So everybody is welcome to get in on the conversation here where we just trust the process. This is the process of winning fantasy football. So welcome to that. This is the process of kicking your friends, your neighbors, your family's ass in fantasy football. This is the process of telling your grandma, not this year, grandma. That's what we're doing here, producing victories, making it easy, giving you information to use or not use. That's up to you. Nobody's going to force you, but you won't be able to deny that you've got the edge if you trust the process. There's a few ways that you guys can keep up with the process. Let's go over that so we can dive into this week's action. www.tigerbombsae.com. That is the Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment website. Fantastic little joint if you haven't checked it out. You can go there, listen to the process. Every podcast of the Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment Podcast has their own page. You can click on the process page. This podcast, maybe you're listening to it right there. Kudos to you. You done found something. That's one of the ways you can listen. You could also check out What Happened, the True Crime Podcast. Maybe that's your thing. There's some stuff going on over there, is the sentiment. Now, maybe you don't like to log on to the internet because you're not stuck in 1997. Maybe you like to listen to your podcast, I don't know, through an app. Maybe a little ditty called Spotify, iTunes. Maybe you use Stitcher. Point being, however you listen to your podcast, you can listen to this podcast. Search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, and then boom, it's going to pop up. You can like or subscribe, and then you will not miss any of the episodes, which is key, because if you are an older listener, or a average listener, I should say, then you already know what I'm going to tell the noobs, which is all the past episodes are back there for you. So you guys can circle the horn. See some of this information that maybe I reference along the way. Great statistical breakdowns, if I do say so myself. Talking about every aspect of how we draft, how we play DFS, what we look for at the beginning of the season, how we go along every step of the way. So in an effort to not repeat myself, we're moving forward, but you haven't lost, right? You can still go back and get that through those platforms. If you're a social media person, got you covered. Facebook or Twitter, you can search for us both the same way, at The Process TBSAE. We can connect there, do the meme thing on Facebook or wherever. Twitter, you can get some information answered, essentially start up some questions, stuff like that, if you're into that sort of thing. You can always email me if you got nothing else going on. The Process at TigerBombSAE.com. You want to say hey, I'll say hey back. You can do that if you want. Or talk about anything else that you want to hear segment-wise or that you want to have added to the show, maybe. Maybe I might actually do it. That's the important stuff. Now that we got the heavy lifting out the way, what are we going to do today? What's the agenda? It's right to the point. We're going to talk about week three NFL football. Do a little quick reload like we did last week. Go through my concepts from each contest. Then we'll do some would you rather after that too. Just another quick would you rather. I won't, you know, I haven't looked at the would you rathers yet before. I'll just go down the page again and see what's popping, what's lately been requested. Hopefully these people make sense this week. And then for show, we got some DFS tips. We blew it up last week. I mean, kaboom, we blew it up. Told you here. And I'm sure you've heard other places too. There's a fellow named Kyler Murray. Been talking about how you might as well just plug this dude in for DFS purposes. Actually, we're not going to do that this week. But that's what wrote us again last week. You know, there's other things too that were going our way. Cooper Kupp on the GPP side of things. Request, you know, telling you guys to play him. That's a big hit last week for us, right? How about your cash game wide receivers? Sutton, nailing that. Told you to put him in the cash game. Said it was a certain thing for certain reasons, and boom, we weren't worried about no injuries. We caught that, right? And so we want to ride this wave into this week. I didn't have tournament success last week, but on the cash game 50-50 side, like I said, came through. And as you guys understand, this is supplemental. That's what my picks are. This is supplemental. I'm happy to hit on the guy here or there, whatever, to help you plug into some lineup that you've already been tinkering or figuring out or whatever. That's what we're doing here. So when we nail on even just one or two dudes that just blows up and goes off every week, that's a big old win because somebody's plugged that in to a winning formula. Because I don't encourage you to just do what I do. So there you go. Last week was profitable. Last week was good. Last week was fun on the seasonal side of things. When you look at maybe some things that happened over there for me. Not wins across the board, but teams are putting up points. That's what I want to talk about. Before we get on to that other stuff, you know, it's important that we talk about where your mind should be, maybe in your seasonal, right? Because we're going to just, you know, talk about this DFS stuff later on. But for seasonal, we're going into week three. There's things you need to be looking at. And I'm going to harp on some stuff. Number one, points. Are you putting up points? You're not putting up points. It's early enough in the season to where if you're not putting up points, you can, you know, do some things trade-wise, take advantage of some dudes who will probably fall eventually and bring back some serious value. Or you can do nothing. You are sitting there looking at it right now. You see how many points you have. So what? Your record's 2-0. What if you have some of the lowest point totals? You've been getting lucky. That's some things to think about. Conversely, what if I'm 0-2? I got the most points, second most points, third most points. Then you chill. Then you chill. Don't go blow it up. We're not chasing anomalies. We're building championship teams. That's what we're talking about doing here. So this is why we want to talk about points. Not victories, points. We talking about points. How many points do you have? Y'all know what else we're talking about? We're not talking about receptions. We're not talking about rushing yards, receiving yards. Let them talk about that. Because, see, when you're doing that, you're already behind the curve. When somebody wants to justify a play by giving you those numbers, what you need to understand is that's a reflection back into the past when you look in the future. How do we look in the future? Well, hopefully you guys have figured it out already, but if you're new to it, we'll serve it up on the plate right here. We're looking for, like, rushing attempts, not rushing yards. That's what we're talking about. How many times a game are they willing to give it to you? Because we want to invest in those scenarios. Not looking at results after it's over and saying that's going to happen again. It's not. Rushing attempts, not rushing yards. Receiving targets. How many times are they looking at you in the game? AJ Brown not hitting right now. So what? Targeting you 13 times a game. It's coming. It's coming. So these are the things that we will look at to separate ourselves from others right now. Largely, I'm a believer that if you draft well, your fantasy seasonal team is going to be a boring sort of a venture. That's what your DFS is for. But if you need work, we're talking about the things that you can do if you got to go to the wire, right? Luckily, hopefully you probably haven't had to do that yet. Hopefully you haven't had to do that yet. The way we set things up around here, you should have your running backs and you should have their handcuffs, right? If you've got injuries, you've got a depth chart, so you're not concerned about what happens if, because you've already thought about that. So this is when you're like driving, right? You're not waiting for something to happen. You are the aggressor. That's what we're doing here. Advice for this week, don't get suckered into playing the matchups. Play your lineups. Play your lineups. That's why you drafted these people. You lose psychologically when you put somebody on the bench that you drafted in the first round because you're afraid of the matchup. Why did you draft him? So we won't do that. The other thing we need to talk about as far as seasonal goals is, I noticed I'm in a matchup this week where somebody is employing a strategy that I usually use against other people. I have Joe Burrow as my quarterback in this league, and I see that he has Tyler Boyd, he has Jamar Chase, and he's going to load them both up. Typically, that is something that I would do if I'm facing somebody, especially somebody who puts up points. I think I'm outmatched. I want to try to attach myself to him. That's what I usually do. I see this fellow doing that in this matchup here. His team does put up a lot of points. Looked at his assets, tied himself to me. I have Matt Ryan on the bench. Can't do anything with that. Daniel Jones, who I want from that game. We'll talk about that later. But a part of me doesn't want to play the flip-flop between Burrow and Ryan. Burrow and Ryan. Picked up Carr so I could drop Ryan after I see what I think is going to be terrible tomorrow. I don't advise rocking three quarterbacks, but you can do it when you had one open roster space because you weren't greedy. I wasn't greedy. I'm not greedy for whatever's out on the wire because I already have what my team needs. So I literally have one empty space. I'm not recommending that either, but when you know, you know. When you know, you know. So I didn't actually, you know, drop anybody to do it. Put in an empty slot, right? So I've got this guy. And now I've got a choice because I drafted Burrow. But now I'm thinking Carr might be the quarterback for me. But you guys know what? Normally what I would be telling you is just play Burrow. Now you understand this guy's pushing my hand by having my receivers here. It's a tough matchup against Pittsburgh. I think the moral of the story here is I will probably just play. Because if I sit Burrow again, I am losing because I'm sitting the dude that I drafted to play quarterback for dudes that I picked up off the wire. So why did I draft? So I lost, right? So I'm going to play Burrow. Especially because if he doesn't do anything, fine. They don't do anything. He has two guys in there. That's going to hurt him more than it is me. If they go off, you know, both of them, then it means that Burrow went off. So I'm going to go ahead and play him. Moral of the story, play who you draft. That's what we're doing week three, y'all. Before we get into those other segments, want to touch on some baseball really quickly because we should. This is a great time of year. You've got basketball getting ready to start. Hockey's getting ready to start. You've got baseball still going on. Teams marching towards the playoffs. And then we've got football building. And so we're going to go through it. The NL is not wrapped up. Did you guys know that? That's why we're going to go through these things. But let's talk about the AL first. There's some things happening over here. So Tampa Bay, obviously, in control of the AL East. But Boston and New York, there's some things happening. Wild card here. The White Sox clinched this week. Clinched that division. Locked it up, headed to the playoffs. Starting to round into something. Looking good. Feeling healthy. Giolito's back. Lou Bob is playing his butt off. Luis Robert, by the way. We got Eloy back. They got Eloy back. Sentiment. They seem ready. And they better be ready. Because Houston is Houston. Houston's probably got it wrapped up. So, in terms of the wild card, though, we got to go back to the AL East because this is why baseball's so exciting right now. Yesterday, we headed into this weekend with the Yankees a game behind Boston, And Boston had the first wild card. Yankees had the second wild card. Toronto was a game out. Game and a half out, I should say. Now, Toronto lost. They're 2.5 back. Yankees beat Boston. Now they're tied. Seattle made up ground last week by whipping on Oakland. Completely. So Oakland's 4 back, virtually, you know, floundering now. And Seattle finds themselves 2.5 back with Toronto. They got the tiebreaker over Toronto. So the wild cards are Boston and New York. And Seattle's 2.5 back of them. What a time to be alive right now. They're just playing baseball. Toronto's still 2.5 back, still fighting. And they got a series with the Yankees starting on Monday. Seattle got a series with Oakland starting on Monday. So Oakland, not dead in the water either. They got 3 with Seattle. If these teams could, because Boston and New York are playing tonight, and they're playing again tomorrow, all these teams are beating up on each other. So you can't even really say Oakland's out, even though they're starting to get there. But they're only 4 back. Certainly room for things to happen with Seattle and Toronto. Boston, New York, great series, beating up on each other this weekend. Watch that. Watch that. This is playoff baseball that we're talking about right now. Great game yesterday. Yankees bats came out. Gerrit Cole gave him 6 strong. A little touched up in the end there. Devers caught a hanging change up. Able to put a couple points on the board, 3 points on the board, but they still took it. See how it goes tonight. That's big-time baseball right there. It's actual playoff baseball. So check that out. And then if we go over to the other side of things, the NL, it's getting a lot more dicey. Look, Milwaukee is in control of that division. They've got a playoff berth, but you know, St. Louis, technically 6.5 back in Milwaukee. You're not going to catch them, really. But 15 straight? 15 straight? These guys are playing. They've played their asses off. They're into playoff contention now. They are in the second wild card now. They've played their way in. The other thing that we've got to talk about is San Francisco and the Dodgers obviously still duking it out. Slam Diego's done. That team fell apart down the end. We saw frustrations in the dugout, in the clubhouse. There's a lot not there. Because the pitching was injured. No Paddock, no Clevinger. Arrieta got designated for assignment this week. You know, you're trying to get into the playoffs. He's out there losing every 4 days. There was a lot going wrong for that club. Snell, look, endless. So, floundering in the water. And then the thing that really sealed it for them is having to play San Francisco this past week, because you would hope that San Francisco could be able to just get the division and sit back and maybe those games don't matter. But here come the Dodgers. They've played incredibly well. And so they find themselves merely a game back from San Francisco. So San Francisco needs every game because the Dodgers are a game back from winning the division. They've got 99 wins. San Francisco's got 100. So that thing is tied up. The division race is not called for. Obviously, the Dodgers have the first wild card at 99 wins. But that's a huge race right there. St. Louis is the other wild card, 86-69. Now, as far as... Okay, so if we're looking at the wild cards, I to be honest with you, I don't think that these other teams really have a chance because Philly's 5 back and Cincinnati's 6.5 back. They had a chance, couldn't do damage. San Diego's 7.5 back. I don't think there's anything there. That's what we're looking at playoff-wise. But if we go back to the NL East, Atlanta, all of a sudden, we thought this was their division. All of a sudden, Philly's 1 game back. Philly doesn't have a bullpen. I don't think they could sustain a playoff run. I don't know what they could do in a series. The bats go cold sometimes. A very streaky team. But, you know, they're doing what they can to get there. They're trying. And Atlanta is merely a game above them right now. Philly's 8-2 in their last 10. Atlanta's playing 500 ball. And guess who's got a 3-game set this week, y'all? That's right. Philly could feasibly overtake Atlanta and not look back. And so, again, neither one of these teams in position for a wild card, but they're fighting it out for the division. It's going to come down to that series. We get to watch that. That's playoff baseball. That's what's going on in baseball right now as we try to wind down the season. And obviously, if you hadn't had a chance to look, you should. But we can pick it back up and turn back over to football from here and get into our week three scenarios. A little bit of reload and a little bit of would you rather to help us have a great perception of what should be going on this week. Kick it off with Carolina and Houston. They already played on Thursday. Carolina won 24-9. Looks like Hubbard's going to see some time on the field. Looks like we're probably going to see McCaffrey miss a couple weeks at least. And so McCaffrey owners, this is the price you pay. You know, I had this guy last year, draft him first, and you know, when you have that injury, your team really falls apart. But I think this is going to be a little bit of what it's like to be him, just, you know, on off injured because of his size and frame. Not unlike what some people have said with, you know, criticisms against him in the past. Seems to kind of be coming to fruition a little bit here. But anywho, they win that game. Their defense is playing solid. Granted, Houston didn't have much to offer anyway. Not a lot of reason for us to be looking to them for any scenarios at all. Looking over to Sunday now. Reload. Washington at Buffalo. Washington has given up the pass yards. This is a vaunted defense on paper only at this point. They got to prove it. They've been giving it up. And so Buffalo, I do like Allen this week. I think he's a good play, but I will most likely get exposure to him through Diggs, who I think is in a good spot. I like McLaurin on the other side too. Tre'Davious White can't really shadow because they move Scary Terry everywhere. He just lines up all over the place and does whatever he wants. So I think that he's going to have an opportunity to play well here. As far as Washington goes, I think that they will do more offensively with Heinicke than people expect. I know they think this Buffalo defense is pretty stout and they're in Buffalo and this is a problem. I think that they'll be okay because they should be able to establish the run. I buy into Gibson being able to establish the run. Buffalo's got a well-ranked run defense so far, but it's only been 2 weeks. And I think if you look at those running games that they went against, like, this is a much different sort of a feat for them. I sneaky like him too. I'll be recommending him for DFS purposes, but Washington has a chance to have their defense begin to play a little better if they can control the clock with the run game. Don't let Buffalo run up and down the field. If they do, still slow it down when you get the ball. But like I said, Diggs, I like, you know, exposure to him through Allen in a game that Washington makes testy, but ultimately Buffalo still wins. Reload. Chicago at Cleveland and Fields. Oh my goodness. Everybody's been clamoring for this. Everybody wants to play him. I'm going to fade it in DFS. I'm going to stay away from it because ultimately, you guys know, if you've been listening, and if you haven't, you got to know that I've got an aversion to buying into something that we haven't seen before. I understand that some people want to do this to get the DFS edge, but that's not how you do it. You get the edge by playing unowned scenarios, right? And a lot of times, this is just overlooked matchups. Not guessing. I know Fields has a great arm. He's known for the precision. He's had the legs. And everybody's thinking, oh, well, when you got the legs, that just right now unlocks, you know, a better quarterback in the league. I'm not denying any of that. But there's a reason why the Bears didn't, you know, they wanted to kind of have a metered approach to this. He wasn't supposed to be. He's only in there because Dalton is hurt. I'm not saying he's worse than Dalton. But I'm just saying, he's a rookie. This is week three. It takes time to have the game catch up to you, the nuances, the what's going on out there on Sunday. And, you know, the reason why I'm saying this is because what's going on with him, I think, got compared a little bit to maybe what we saw last season with, I'm trying to think of, who's the quarterback that I'm blanking on was thrown in a little bit last year and we saw it start to work a bit in his favor. I can't understand why my mind is blanking on who I was thinking of. I was thinking about this earlier. And I thought, well, that dude had it come together at the end of the year, and we're talking about the beginning of the year now. So I think that those are some nuances here. We haven't played much football, essentially. And so that's a lot to put on his plate, in my opinion. I think that there's an opportunity for him to play better as the year progresses, but not really up front, I don't think, per se. Not right away. There's a lot going into this. So I think the key for the Bears is running the ball, and we like that because Montgomery, we can rely on him from a fantasy aspect because he's getting so many touches, and they are dedicated to getting him those touches, and so that's something we can look forward to. I think Cleveland has a good pass rush. We're talking about a rookie quarterback. I don't really want him to have to deal with that too much if I'm the Bears, and so I'm going to augment a lot of that by running the football to keep them honest, and as well they should. So I hear all this talk about Mooney and Robinson and Fields. I will let you all play it. I will fade it. I would rather play the Bears defense, and I would rather play Montgomery, and you could pair those together. Drop the hammer if you want. Because on the other side of things, Cleveland's getting Beckham back, but they don't have Jarvis. It's Beckham's first game back. Who knows what he's going to look like? I think for them, you know, maybe even trying to run a little bit more. I think Chubb can be productive. He can have a decent day from a DFS standpoint. Probably too expensive, but Hunt is the one that I think we could afford. Maybe they give him some touches, but he can catch the passes too. And so I think perhaps if Cleveland is trailing, that works in their favor. If they're not trailing, I still think it's fine because they will want to run the football more. I understand that I keep characterizing them as that team, but through the first 2 weeks, it's been split or pass a lot of the time for them. Well, these weapons are going down, and so I don't think that they'll be as likely willing to do that, especially against the Bears pass rush, right? Like, I think the better opportunity is just running the ball a little more or checking down a little more. And so I think that Hunt is a great play. And I don't think Chubb's going to have a terrible day. He can get in the box for sure. But those are my perceptions. You know, not dealing with Baker. I mean, I know the back end of this defense has some issues to it, but look, they played better last week. They were able to rush the passer. And like I said, injuries in Cleveland. As far as who wins this game, Cleveland, they're at home. It's a rookie quarterback early on in his first season. I think there's too much expectation there. I hope I'm wrong. I'm a Chicago boy. I'm a Bears fan. I want to be wrong, but I can't see it. Reload. Baltimore at Detroit. Detroit is completely overmatched. Goff's starting to look like Goff. He's the check down king at the moment. The running backs. Their coach is Anthony Lynn. He's going to use all the running backs. You're going to keep saying, because I don't even think this is a terrible position as a run game, but people need to recognize Swift is not just going to get all the touches. You know, Williams is going to be involved. There may even be a third dude involved, and so I don't really want any of it. Hockenson, you can do. I know Baltimore, they're going to say they've given up the most yards to tight ends. Yeah, a lot of that's Kelce. Good luck trying to guard him. Anyone. Right? And so I think that's a little skewed, but the opportunity to use Hockenson is still there. He's still coming on, and they still have not been good against the tight end. But I just don't think it's going to blow up as much as what people are thinking. That's the only thing I really like about them. I like Baltimore defense in this game. You know, as far as a DFS standpoint goes, I can't recommend Lamar because banged up a little bit, but also not sure how much these guys will need to do. Like, I'm just, you know, I think they win this game. I want to say Hollywood, you know, goes off. The runners, I don't really know who separates themselves there. I mean, I get it. Tyson Williams is a little bit in the front, but I think that's only like 14 reps or something like that. 14 attempts, basically, right, to lead the way. Not a lot. It's not going to be a lot there. They're going to win this game. If that defense scores points and stuff like that, I just think they get up and maybe we sub here and there. So I don't want to get too invested in anybody besides Hollywood, I don't think. Just for fear of it getting out of hand. Reload. Arizona's traveling to Jacksonville. So, a couple thoughts about this one. I was looking at this Arizona film from last week and the week before, and I wanted to see if DeAndre Hopkins was getting doubled. He did not appear to be getting doubled. The reason why I wanted to check was because the distribution by Kyler Murray is great. He's getting it to everybody, but he's not even giving it to Hopkins the most. He's obviously hitting Moore the most. And so Rondell Moore or whatever, he's hitting him the most. And so, you know, people are a little down on Hopkins. I thought maybe it might have been because Hopkins was seeing more looks, more coverage or whatever, but that's not the case. He's just spreading it around, taking what's there, playing video game football right now. So Hopkins is a little banged up. So look, I'm saying all that to say I think he's a great play. I would never tell somebody not to play him. He could do what he wanted to do and ball out every week. But for me, I'm probably going to fade him this week because if he's a little banged up and if Kyler Murray's seeing the whole field anyway, this is not the most upside that he has. And so I want to play guys with the most upside, period. I like Edmonds, though. I think this game gets out of hand. I told you guys to play Murray all week, all year, rather. I said I would fade him this week because, again, I think they get up too much, and I don't know how like they probably pull him from the game. I don't know what happens there. But Edmonds I like. I like him this week in this offense. The rest of the receivers, I couldn't say because Murray spreads it around so much. Probably don't like Max Williams, though, this week. What else? Jacksonville. Look, to be expected. To be expected. Coach who's never played in the NFL, or, you know, coach in the NFL, player who's never played in the NFL, both of them getting adjusted to the game speed and all that goes with that. To be expected. But they haven't figured it out yet. Are they going to figure it out this week? I don't think so. I don't want anybody over here. I don't want to figure out what's going on with the passing game. I don't want to figure out who's getting those touches. I don't care. I don't want any of it. Arizona's going to win that game. Reload. Chargers going to face their nemesis, Kansas City. The Chargers invited Dallas to run last week, and they did. I'm simply asking, in this game that everybody says is going to be a blowout, the game was 17-20. So they didn't win, but they almost won. I'm wondering, do they not do the same thing here? Do we invite them to run by just sitting back, right? Covering everything in the back end, giving them everything in front. I like Kelsey this week. I think CEH can punch it in. I think he can, you know, maybe have some opportunities on the ground, but I wouldn't go so far as to say, I'm going to play him. I just think that they may try to get him more involved if the Chargers go that route. The reason why I want to fade him is because you can't count on goal line work because Mahomes passes it in a lot at the goal line. But Kelsey's in play. The receiver's in play. It's a high-powered offense. If they want to score points, they'll score points. And so you got to say these folks are in play. The only thing that can stop them is if they want to run the ball. I think the Chargers will perhaps invite them to run again, but I don't think that they will do it. I think that it will change how they pass, and then we'll have to see what adjustments are made from there. Kansas City is going to win this game, but we're really trying to figure out how it all comes together, right? I like Cook on the other side of things. He's a low-priced DFS option this week for sure. Kansas City is very, very bad and have been historically against the tight end, so I think we can pay down and comfortably plug him in. But I also like Allen, and I also like Williams as well. Williams is playing for that contract for sure. And Eckler, too, because Eckler's a part of the pass game. You can hit him with check-down passes. You can hit him in the middle. Eckler's a part of the pass game. They're going to need all their assets as they try to keep up with Kansas City. If they, in turn, run like I expect they will. Even if invited. I'm sorry. If Kansas City passes, just like I expect they will. Even if invited to run. Okay? So Eckler should be in play. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's a game script thing because let's say the Chargers somehow are ahead. They got trying to run clock. Then they run Eckler. If they're not here, they're trying to play catch up. Then they use him in the way that I said, right? So I just like Eckler. I think you can pay up for him in the DFS world this week. New Orleans at New England. Jameis Winston. Wow, this dude. So bad. So good. So bad. New England is at home. I think they win this game. Their defense is good. I think that they find ways to stifle Jameis. I think that New Orleans tries to play competitive, but Kamara can't do it alone. And I don't think New England, if there's going to be exposed, if they're to be exposed, I don't think it happens this week. I think that defense is in play. I think they win that game. But I think also New Orleans stays in the game because their defense keeps them in the game too. Mac Jones is not causing them to lose the game. He's not doing anything incredible. you know, maybe Jacoby Myers if you're interested, or, but really it's White. You know, it's the only really guy, James White. Played Damian Harris last week. It's not that kind of week against this New Orleans defense. So White if you want, Myers if you want. I largely stay away if I don't need it. But New England wins that game. Reload. Atlanta at the Giants. You know, this is an interesting game because everybody is, you know, on Daniel Jones, and I kind of am too, because, you know, that rushing ability, he's not getting enough credit for these big runs that he's able to pull off. Like, I know, like, we see other quarterbacks run, but, like, Daniel Jones will literally run 60 yards down the field, like, done it multiple times in games. Like, that's crazy. So, fantastic option against a team that's soft against the run. He should be able to find some room, and they're soft against the pass. Atlanta doesn't have great defense. I like Sterling Shepard, for sure. Seems to be the number one choice here. I like the other guys too, but I don't know how they line up. I understand there's a lot of room for Galladay this week. Some people trying to make the, you know, case don't play Slayton. I don't know how it lines up. So just go Jones and get the exposure to everybody. If you want to pair him with somebody, it's Sterling Shepard for sure. Saquon Barkley is in play too. This defense is bad all around in terms of Atlanta. He seems to be getting healthier. And so, you know, it's an either or. I don't think you play them together, because if Saquon goes off, then I think it's because Jones did less. Jones could perhaps pass to him too. So, you know, play it if you like, right? But this is a game Atlanta, I think, is a little overmatched. They're going on the road. They're not a great team. Matt Ryan last week, you know, he's used to playing Tampa Bay. Pretty much paid off his salary. Like, he did what he had to do. He got some fantasy points. It's a pass funnel anyway. He's able to take advantage of that. Giants a little bit of a different thing here. Bradbury's probably going to shadow Ridley, maybe take him away. I think Pitts could be in play. I don't know if he's able to get to all his options, though, because he just doesn't seem comfortable right now. His average depth of target, his A-dot, is just so low, like 5 yards down the field. So I just don't know all what he offers. I do like Pitts, like I said, and I like Mike Davis. I'm not buying into the Cordell Patterson stuff. I'm not going to do it. We're going to make a stand. Let them play that, and we're going to play Mike Davis. Mike Davis is a better running back than Cordell Patterson is, and I'm sorry that I had to say that out loud. I understand that he has dual eligibility on these apps. Stop having fun with that. It's not like one of the eligibilities is tight end. Then it would be something to talk about, right? And even then, I don't know. But no. We're not going to do that. Mike Davis is in a good spot this week. You can play Cordell if you want to, but I'm not into it. I'm just not into it. I don't think he offers enough, you know, you're just doing that to say you were savvy, like, but there's no upside there. You know, it's just such a limited play. I think the Giants win this game. Atlanta could be playing, you know, comeback or whatever, so who knows? Maybe in that scenario, you know, Davis doesn't get his, and then it could be Cordell Patterson because he's catching passes out of the backfield, right? I'm willing to entertain that, but bottom line, I think the Giants can win this game. Reload. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati. So Pittsburgh, not able to stop Carr. You know, he looked good. The Pittsburgh offense doesn't look great. I think Burrow has problems with the rushes we've seen. The Bears made him look foolish at points. He was able to figure it out later. What I mean to say is maybe a lower scoring game. Maybe Cincinnati's defense is in play because we just know Pittsburgh doesn't do a lot offensively. And Deontay Johnson, hopefully he plays, but he might not. If he doesn't play, maybe Chase Claypool plays that position. Like I said, there's only really one receiver that can pay off. We did go Juju and Deontay last week because Juju got the underwork. So, again, something like that would have to happen. But Cincinnati a little better against the pass than the run. A lot of people buying in the Pittsburgh run this week. Not me. You know, it's not Najee Harris that I have a problem with. It's the offensive line. And I don't think that they are good enough to do anything. So I'm not going to play it. On the Cincinnati side of things, I do like Mixon. That's why I like their defense. I think he can run at Pittsburgh. I don't see any problems with that. I think Burrow is going to maybe struggle at first, but he'll figure it out. He'll have his moments. His guys. I would rather have exposure to him than the receivers. I think that's a little more risky. But ultimately, I don't want exposure to Burrow over Mixon. I would rather have exposure to Mixon in the defense. I think that's interesting in terms of how that game goes. Pittsburgh finds a way to win just because they're at home. Reload. Indy at Tennessee. If Wentz plays, I think more of him playing terribly, but enabling Pittman, period. Maybe a little better week for Taylor, but I don't want to risk it. You know, Hines is still siphoning off a little bit of attention. So there's not much that I think can be gained in terms of upside there. It's just such a limited play. This is a game they should lose. Tennessee's figuring some things out. Julio came on last week. I think him and A.J. Brown are both in plays. We're going to talk about that with the DFS world later. They're both in play. I think Henry can punch it in on the goal line. I know Indy's a little stout against the run, but Henry has got it going. I think if they get towards the goal line, he's going to be the one to punch it in. So he can still pay off. For DFS purposes, not interested. For seasonal, yeah, you can be confident about that. I just don't know. Yeah, Indy backfield too. Again, like they started playing Mac again last week too, so now it's three people. So it's just like, no, there's just not a lot there. Sergeant Jack Doyle on the tight end front, perhaps if you want it. Maybe more of a real-life thing than a fantasy thing. But Tannehill should be enabled through his receivers to push it downfield, and then they punch it in with their boy. Tennessee's defense is getting a lot of respect in this one, especially if Wentz doesn't go. But they should win the game either way. Reload. Jets going to visit Denver. It's going to be a tough one for them. Crowder is supposed to be coming back. But even, you know, either way, if he comes back or doesn't, it doesn't matter. This Denver defense should be in position to control the ball game. I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon once more. But really, when you see for DFS, it's like we're going to play Javonte too in a different format. But the moral of the story is Denver should be able to run the ball and play defense and win the game like that. When he needs to and when he wants to, the pass will be there for Teddy Bridgewater. Sutton, he's obviously looking at him first. I don't think Fant's in a terrible position, but it's more like catch a touchdown maybe. I don't think he has a great – he had 12 points last week. I don't think he does that again this week, basically. But I don't hate him. Maybe he has 7 or 8 or 9 points or something. I don't know. But just not a lot there because I don't think it'll need to be. Denver wins that game. Reload. Miami at Vegas. So this is an interesting one. Everybody's high on Vegas, high on the Vegas D, low on Miami. Okay. I really do think that Vegas is not going to have as much success stopping the run as people are thinking because I believe that the problems with the run were Pittsburgh, the offensive line, like I just said. So I think that that's what made Vegas look a little better up front there. And then they were able to focus on, you know, the back end. Miami should be able to establish the run a little bit more, especially I don't think they'll be able to establish the passes. You know, Tua is not going to play, and so who knows what we're going to get from Brissett. He'll be better than he was last week because it's not a last-minute thing now. But ultimately, you're talking about stepping in on late notice. It's on the road, so I like him a lot less. This is going to be a tough environment in this new stadium. They're going to make some noise. And they're getting Fuller back this week. I know it was supposed to be last week. He had a personal issue. Now he's back this week. Too much variance. Who knows who he looks for, how he distributes the ball. Vegas pass rush seemed to be decent, and so he might not have time to do that. I think you augment all that with running the ball with Gaskin, and he should have more success than Pittsburgh did last week. So sneaky, I like him, which translates to me liking Miami's defense a little more. I think that Carr can play decently. I don't think he's going to have as great of a game as he did last week. I think this is a tougher thing, but he can still be okay. I think he can still get his. He can still score couple touchdowns. He could probably run one in, which is what I think gives him the upside. But it's a game that they win, but it's more like, you know, Waller does his part. You know, I think the run game, using multiple backs, so I'm not interested, maybe stands up a little bit, right? So if it comes down to fantasy purposes, I think tournament-wise, Carr is going to be worth it. But ultimately, I have a lot of interest in this Miami run game and defense. I think that they control the game in a way people might not be expecting. Reload on the Tampa Bay at the Rams. Look, Tampa Bay, pass funnel defense. Right? You're not going to be able to run against them. Daryl Henderson's banged up anyway. Sony Michel, we could fade it. It's not the week for it. He's going to come on, though, especially if Henderson stays hurt. What we can look forward with the Rams is another Cooper Kupp week. Blew up last week, paid off for us. Same sort of a deal. Slot against Tampa Bay, loaded up. I like Woods too, because volume. It's going to be volume against Tampa Bay. You can pass, and so both are in play. Tyler Higbee's in play, though, over Woods, though, because Tampa Bay is very bad against the tight end, so I could see a touchdown scenario, like, you know, goal line touchdown scenario, even twice punching it in. He could have, like, literally 2 yards and 2 touchdowns as totals. But the Rams are going to be tough. They're at home. Now, they're going against TB12, so he's going to find a way. Rams defense is going to be tough, too. Brady is going to be without Antonio Brown because of COVID. So I think that, you know, Mike Evans, so when very rarely are they having a shadow job being performed for the Rams by their top cornerback. Jalen Ramsey, who's a beast, rarely are they having him shadowed. Like 5 times a year they did last year. Once it was against Mike Evans. And so Evans, if he sees the shadow, and if Brown is out, then yeah, that leaves the other guy, Godwin. So Chris Godwin, he should be in play. Brady should be able to find him. Gronk can get some touchdowns. I don't think he runs up and down the field, though. Even his time on the field, you know, his number of plays started to diminish last week. So I think we see more of that. And I do think that Chris Godwin is in play, but I like Fournette. Jones is in the doghouse because of a fumble, so I like Fournette over him. But the Rams have shown they can be run on a little bit. I think Tom is smart enough, obviously, to know when they get up to the line when to do this. I like Fournette. I like Fournette punching it in. I like Fournette. They're going to win this game. Reload. Seattle at Minnesota. This should be a fun one. I really like Russ Wilson in this one. I think that Chris Carson, you know, he could get some goal line work, be interesting there, but Seattle shouldn't have a problem against, like, the easier way to attack Minnesota is going to be through the air. Lockett and Metcalf are in play. I don't really like one over the other. I don't want to take that gamble, but Russ Wilson, I want exposure to him as a way to get exposure to both of them without getting burned. He's solely in play. Carson is getting vultured a little bit by Travis Homer, and that's the problem for him. Like, you know, some of this third down work and some of this distance work he's taking, that's an issue. That's why he hasn't performed better, but I think he can still pay off because of the goal line. Because I think the opportunity to score points is going to be there. Minnesota has a terrible defense, so everybody can get involved. But more importantly, I like Russ Wilson. I think Everett shows up this week, but all this is running through Russ, right? It's all going through Russ. Now, on the Minnesota side of things, look, they want to – I talked last week about how Dalvin Cook was going to be used to establish the run, and if they passed, it would just be because off of play action. And I went down that whole diatribe. You can go back and listen if you want. He got a little banged up, okay, and so he's a little banged up, but they still tried that. He still got, he got yardage. Like, we paid up for him, and it wasn't a terrible move. He would have got more yards had he not gotten hurt. The reason why I don't want to do that this week is because he's a little banged up, but also Seattle is one of the teams that stacks 8 in the box the most. The only other team that stacks more the 8 in the box more than them is the Jaguars. So to me, I'm just thinking they're going to take that away, and so Minnesota is going to be forced to pass. The passing game is clicking right now. I don't think they'll have a problem doing that. So instead of Cook, I do think that K.J. Osborne is activated again this week. I do like Thielen this week. Jefferson, these guys are all in play as Cousins should be able to spread it around. So Cousins should be a viable option in a game that they want to play keep up with. But Seattle's going to win that game. Seattle's going to win that game. But it should be a lot of offense. That's what I see as well. Reload. Green Bay at San Francisco. San Francisco hurt on the back end, so I don't – you know, not much they're going to be able to do against Devontae Adams. I see that as being an issue for them. Rodgers should be able to have his way. San Francisco should try to control the game by running the football. Who runs the ball? Who knows? Right now, they're saying Sermon, but you guys know how it goes. We don't want to take chances with that if we don't have to. But just know that whoever runs it from San Francisco, I think they're going to be effective. They'll have an opportunity against Green Bay. Kittle should come back to life. Debo Samuel, a little less active. I do think that maybe Jair Alexander sees. I think, though, Jair lines up on the same side as Brandon Ayuk. And so Deebo Samuel maybe has an opportunity to do something, but largely not interested in that. I think it would be Kittle in the running game, if anything. But this is a game that I don't think that San Francisco wins. Green Bay has a chance to go and win this game on Sunday night, and I think they do it not through running. It's going to be through Rodgers. Reload. Finally, Monday. This is our last shot here. Monday, Philadelphia at Dallas, and this one should be interesting because Jalen Hurts, we invested in him last week too. This dude's rushing upside helps him pay off every week. He's a fantastic play. I think Philly, though, and Dallas, this is going to be an interesting game. Dallas ran last week because they were invited to. I think this week, it may become more about like passing again. And so that's the route that I think that they take. Like CeeDee Lamb is in play for sure. I like Dak this week. But the thing about it, though, is I think the Cowboys got a taste of what it's like to have their defense play better by controlling it with running the football. Now, the pass rush for Philly is great. I think if you want, you could run more. You could try to be balanced and run more, and that could help your defense. It could slow things down, and it could keep things in check more. And so, I think Dallas will win this game, but it's going to be interesting to see if they have any interest in the identity that the Chargers loaned to them last week. That's really what we're talking about here. They might have to run, though. I mean, I keep saying run, but they might have to pass, though, because Philly can put the points up. But so could the Chargers. And their defense was able to, once the run was established, you know, that put them in a little better position, too. So this week, what happens? I think for Philadelphia, you know, establishing the run won't be terribly hard, I don't think, for them. I'm interested in that. But the problem with going with Sanders is Gaithwell is coming. Like, this dude is trying to make it a timeshare. Like, he's playing. They're giving him goal line work, throw down work. And so it's like, ugh, you don't want to get involved in that. But that part of their offense should be good. Ertz is out. Goddard should be good here. I like that. He's activated. I think Hurts is just going to have an opportunity to be Hurts. Philly's going to have an effective game plan for Dallas. And so I think, though, that it's not going to be a whole lot of scoring, though. I think this is going to keep it close. I don't think either of these teams score 30 points. I think it's going to be, 24 or under. But I like Dallas. I think the run, I don't want to tell you invest in one dude because it's going to be more of a timeshare with Pollard playing well to help augment whatever Zeke is not doing or that they want to get a different look with. So they win that game, but I don't think they get fancy to do it. It's just a divisional opponent. It's going to be a slug out on Monday night. But they walk away with it. That's what I think happens this week in terms of how each of those little game segments might work out. So let's take a look at some Would You Rather. See what we got here for this week. Little Kenyon Drake versus his former team, the Dolphins. Or would you rather have Rondale Moore going up against the Jaguars? I'm going to go ahead and say Rondale Moore because, again, he's getting so much targets, like so many targets. He's getting more targets per game than DeAndre Hopkins is by one, but still more. And so that's something we can't deny. Kenyon Drake, we're not going to get invested in something we haven't seen. So easy, reload. James White or Tim Patrick this week? James White, because Tim Patrick is not high enough on the totem pole on an offense I don't have a problem with. But James White is a part of that passing game, and I think they'll have to use that this week. And I highlighted him just in the last segment, so White. Robert Woods or David Montgomery this week? I like David Montgomery from a usage standpoint, although I don't hate Robert Woods this week, so I'll take David. Chase Claypool or Tyson Williams? Interesting one here. I'm going to go with Tyson Williams because Pittsburgh is just doing so little volume. I don't know what to expect from Claypool. Mike Evans or Tyson Williams? If Evans gets that treatment from Jalen, then I don't want to be invested there. So I would say Tyson. Antonio Gibson or Jamar Chase? Antonio Gibson. Secret like that running game this week. DK Metcalf or Najee Harris? DK Metcalf this week. Allen Robinson or Tyson Williams this week? I will say Tyson. Damian Harris or Rondale Moore this week? I will say Rondale Moore because Harris is going up against a stout run defense in the Saints. Mike Williams or Chase Edmonds? I'm going to go with Mike Williams because of the shootout aspect. Chase Edmonds, I recommended. I told you, I think he's in a decent spot. But the Jags do try to put eight in the box, the most in the league. I think that they'll be so spread out this week that they won't be able to do that. But if I had to say, I think I like this either or. It's close. I mean, I wouldn't hate somebody taking Chase Edmonds over Mike Williams either. Maybe I should lean that way. I'll say Chase. Marvin Jones Jr. or Tyson Williams? Tyson. I don't want to get involved in the Jaguars. I don't know what they do. Sterling Shepard or Tyson Williams? Sterling Shepard. James White or Michael Pittman Jr. this week? Michael Pittman Jr. He's the only one. He's the only one that they can get the ball to. Sterling Shepard or James Robinson? And I know Pascal. Don't tell me about Pascal. That's a, like, look at the targets. That's not sustainable. Sterling Shepard or James Robinson this week? I will take Sterling Shepard. Tim Patrick or Jaquise Patrick? Give me Tim Patrick. James White or Quintez Cephas? Do I want to be taking Lions players? No, I do not. James White. Robert Woods or Tyson Williams? Robert Woods. I'll take, let's see, Mike Davis or Deebo Samuel? Mike Davis. Melvin Gordon III or Marquise Brown? Good one. I'll take Melvin Gordon. Leonard Fournette or Noah Fant? Leonard Fournette. Corey Davis or Trey Sermon? Trey Sermon. Rob Gronkowski or Cortland Sutton? Sutton. Gronkowski's time on the field is going down. Devin Singletary or Jalen Reagor? Let me get Singletary. Chase Edmonds or KJ Osborne? I will take Edmonds. I told you I like Osborne this week, but Edmonds, he's going to get the touches. Adam Thielen or Mike Davis? I like Thielen this week, but I am a believer in Davis's opportunities this week. Juju Smith-Schuster or Kyle Pitts? Interesting. I'll take Pitts, but I don't hate Juju. Sammy Watkins or Daryl Henderson Jr. this week? Tough matchup for Daryl. I mean, I guess I'll say, and he's hurt, so I guess I'll say Watkins, but I don't expect much. Even if it was Sonny Michel or Watkins, I wouldn't expect much from either. Juju Smith-Schuster or Myles Gaskin? Gaskin. Goddard or Trey Sermon? Sermon, although I understand the risk that I'm taking there. James Robinson or KJ Osborne? I'll go Osborne just because Jaguars, who knows? Keenan Allen or George Kittle? Let me get Keenan Allen. DJ Chark or DeAndre Swift? Swift. Odell Beckham Jr. or James Robinson? Running backs. We want to get something that's, you know, more sure of a thing. And he's their number one running back. Odell's coming off an injury, so I'll tell you Robinson. Shows you what little I expect from Odell this week. Julio Jones or Chase Edmonds for our last one. What the heck? I'll say Julio. Great week last week. He should come on this week. That's who I would rather. Hopefully that helps you guys between those two segments have a very good idea for what I think is transpiring on the field this week. Hopefully we nail it like we did last week. So onward and onward to our last segment to talk about some DFS. And finally, these picks. Let's talk about these picks. Finally, DFS. This is DraftKings format. Just so you know. But let's go over my picks for the week. I hope we sincerely have as much fun and success as we did last week. So first, quarterback. Actually, guys, what's fun is I got four choices for you this week for cash and for GPP tournaments. So for cash game, on the cheap end, Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, $5,800. That allows you to build up at these other positions, which is fantastic. And in such a offensive-friendly environment at home against Atlanta, like, that might be just where I go. Just pay down and just, like, eat it somewhere else. Now, Cousins, $6,300. Cash game play, baby. In place, we just talked about how we can expect him to lead the way and spread it around. That's better exposure than picking off one of these receivers, as we'll do in a moment. Justin Herbert, $6,500. Gonna have to keep pace. So get interested. Gonna have to keep pace. $6,500 gives you exposure, really, to Kansas City if they blow up, because he'll have to try to do what he can, right? So good way to think about it and not pay up for the big guy. Russell Wilson, $7,600, top cash play. top cash play because he's going to lead the way as well. Very interested. The price for Jones is so low that it makes me think about it. But I think both of those are very strong plays. And the other two, I just want to give you thumbs up if that's the route you want to go. Tournament plays, the bottom, Teddy Bridgewater, $5,800. Showed an ability to get the ball downfield. If you want to take a shot on Teddy, that is great. The running game is in a good place, but Melvin Gordon isn't great, and they haven't let Javonte establish himself fully yet. So although they're in a better spot, Bridgewater could see more of a balanced type game where he has a chance to do it again. So if you want to pay down in tournaments, do that. Derek Carr, $5,900. Pay down that way if you want to do it. I think it's worth a tournament play. I told you I'm interested in the Dolphins and Gaskin, but if you want to flip it on the other side, right, that makes him a tournament play. Stafford, $6,400, going up against Tampa Bay. He's going to sling it, so I want to get in on that. I think that's a great price to get exposure to TB12. Pat Mahomes, $8,200 if you want to do it. You could do it on the tournament side. I don't think a lot of people will, but everything runs through him, and so if you need me to tell you from week to week to pick him, I will. All right, running back. Cash game for running back at the bottom. Leonard Fournette, $5,000. Because we talked about it before, this Rams defense is susceptible to the run. Jones is in the doghouse. Fournette could definitely get some goal line work too. I think as far as a cash game scenario goes, it's cheap enough. Melvin Gordon, $5,500. I'm going to go back one more time. I know it's risky, but I'm going to do it one more time. Kareem Hunt at $5,600. Love this as a cash game play. Talk so much about what makes him viable in that game against the Bears. And so I just really like him, whether they're up or whether they're down. He's a part of the game plan, especially with receivers being hurt, I think. And so I'm invested at $5,600. Very strong play. Edmonds at $5,700. And if I had to choose between the two, I would just pick Hunt. Montgomery is $6,100. He's going to be out there. Needs to give Fields a chance to not feel so much pressure. And so I just love just knowing that his attempts are going to be there. They're going to be there. Barkley's only $6,500. We know that's going to grow eventually, so let's take advantage. And then Eckler is $7,200. I really like that too. He's going to be a part of that game. You could feasibly pay up and just pair him with Hunt. Probably what I'm going to do. Tournaments. Javonte Williams, $4,900 for the Broncos at the bottom. If he's splitting time with Gordon, and if Gordon doesn't pay off, it's because this dude, you know, did his thing. And so, great tournament play at that price. I could afford that. James White, $4,900. Part of that passing game makes him so viable. So I'm there. I'm with that. That's a great play. Probably plugging him in all over the place because he just helps Mac Jones take the pressure off himself. And he's not pushing it down the field anyway. This is his options in the pass game. So Mike Davis, $5,100. Love it as a tournament play in an environment where the Giants, they're going to have to do something to move the ball. And you can't rely on Matt Ryan to be the first option as we see anymore. And his first option is going to be locked up by Bradbury. So this opens things up for Davis. Gaskin, want to take the chance at $5,400. Like I said, I think they're going to find success against this Raiders defense. More so than what most people are thinking. And then Gibson at $5,900. I know people are thinking this is a bad matchup for him against Buffalo. We want it. I want to take a chance right here at running back this week. And then Mixon at $6,300. Again, I know people are thinking, what are you thinking, Ralph, going up against Pittsburgh? We want it, baby. We want it. We want it. We want it. Oakland ran the ball well last week, but they split the time between the backs. Mixon's going to get the work, and he can get the goal line work. This can translate for us, so I'm invested there. Now, at wide receiver, a couple things we need to talk about. Metcalf and Lockett are both in play. I'll play Russ over picking, though, because I just don't want to play that game. Also want to mention, as a special sidebar, Julio and A.J. Brown are both in play. GPPs, though, I think, because I think Henry, you know, gets in on the goal line. So I think they have to be tournament because they need more upside in that environment. So I think you just play them as tournament because Russ is, or I'm sorry, if you want, you can play Tannehill on the cash side. But I think they're both in play. And it's because Julio can get the yardage. We know he has his problems with touchdowns. I think A.J. Brown can get the touchdown. So they're both in play, but you got to play GPP if you want to go that route, I think. Now, as far as the wide receivers go, cash game, Michael Pittman Jr., $5,500. Such a great price for literally their only option. I'm there for it. Hollywood Brown at $5,600 against a susceptible Lions defense, if he's healthy, right? So Sterling Shepard at $5,900 against Atlanta. They haven't proven able to stop anybody, and Shepard seems to be the first option in the pass game, which is fantastic. Micah Williams, $6,400. He's been balling all year, and they got Kansas City. So I like that. He's just, you know, they're going to have to move the ball if they want to keep up. Cooper Kupp, $6,800 in the slot against Tampa Bay. We're here for it. We're here for it. He had a big week last week, so a lot of people probably be drawn to him too. Terry McLaurin, $6,900. Like I said, not going to see a shadow because he moves around, so I'm here for it. Same game, Stephon Diggs. Washington ain't scaring nobody. $7,600. Pay up for him. Get exposure to Allen without taking a gamble on Allen and invest in otherwise smarter. Tournament wide receivers, KJ Osborne, $3,500. Fantastic price for a dude that I think has a great chance to get involved again. Emmanuel Sanders, $4,200. It's a great tournament play because Washington hasn't been able to stop anybody. Like we said, we're doing digs and cash. Sanders can be a great leverage tournament play. Don't like the tight end, so that's the way you go. Their running game, not so great, so that's the way you go. Woods, $5,700. Great play because there should be some offense. Robert, you know, Tampa Bay is a pass funnel. We've talked about this. And so, obviously, like Kupp on the cash game, but we're bringing it back with Woods on the GPP. He didn't really produce last week, but people should be off of him at $5,700. I want to take a chance in the tournament. Godwin, $6,100 in the tournament. Just taking a chance because we don't know exactly what the corners are going to do for the Rams. But, you know, with the scenario being what they are, you know, with Evans possibly getting the shadow, and then also Brown being out, you know, take a chance. $6,100, great price. Keenan Allen is a part of that Kansas City LA Chargers shootout game at $6,600. Great leverage play against Mike Williams, so tournament option. I like him. Then Justin Jefferson, $7,200. I think at that price, not too many people will be interested. I think that like I said, this is not a Dalvin Cook opportunity. I think this is an opportunity for Cousins and Co. And I told you I'd have a one-off for you. That's the one. $7,200 at that price, I'm interested because I just think so many people will be so scared because there are so many other better options. And then Tyreek Hill, $8,400. You could do it. Get your exposure to Mahomes that way. He's in play. He's in play. Chargers. Good team, but can't nobody stop, you know, this offense. And I think that ultimately at that price, maybe some people are scared off. And if he goes off, that could put us over. Moving on to the tight ends. Let's talk about it at the top. Cash game, $8,200, Travis Kelce. Just plug and play, man. Like, Chargers are not great against tight ends. He's going to be able to eat in the middle of the field, you know. Do what you want, especially if they do this thing that I said of sitting back and just offering the run. He would be in that part of the field they would be offering. Waller at $7,400. I like him as well against Miami. $5,200 for TJ Hockenson against the Ravens, who haven't been great against the tight end. We could take that opportunity or just pay down with Cook at $3,900. I think you go Kelce or Cook. Cook at $3,900 in that game against Kansas City, I think, is a fantastic option. And then you can have a cash punt of Everett if you want it, way down there at 3K, I believe. Tournament side, Mark Andrews, $5,000. Great option. Great option, I think, especially if Lamar's a little hurt or whatever. Especially if Hollywood doesn't go off, right? You're leveraging it with somebody else. This is the somebody else. It's Mark Andrews, the only other option in the pass game, 5K. Pitts, Kyle Pitts, $4,900. Fantastic price for what should be the number one option in the passing game for Atlanta if Ridley gets that shadow from Bradbury. Tyler Higbee, $4,000 against Tampa Bay, who can't stop the tight end at all, can't stop them from scoring. I really like Higbee right there. And then Cook, $3,900, putting him over here too. You can play him either way. Tournament punts, Uzoma, $2,700. I think he can get to the end zone, and at $2,700, you could pay down and get that one touchdown and just be fine at that spot and have used that money somewhere else. Finally, defensive wise, Bengals. Here, I'm going different here too. I think we got real different this week. Not cute, but different. But check it out. Defense, Bengals, $2,100. I think you could do it. Pittsburgh is not you know, running up the scoreboard. They're not running up the scoreboard. Titans, $2,400, right? But that's going to be very popular as everybody anticipates the Colts tanking. Dolphins, $2,700. If you believe in my Gaskin game plan, then you could, you know, bring the hammer by bringing that too. Ravens, $3,600, safest against the Lions. So if I want an absolute safe pick, I would go there. Highest I'm willing to pay. I know there's other ones up there. You guys know who they are. You can pay for them if you want to, but I don't think you need to do any more than that. DFS-wise, that's what we're looking at this week. I really hope that works out for you guys. Good luck. Hopefully you can do as well as we did last week. Put ourselves in a position to really drive in a W on both the seasonal and the DFS side. That is the Week 3 show. You know how to get at me. Until next time, guys. When we will also learn, scout, win, and repeat. Peace. The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, LLC.